Welcome to this week's episode of Everyday Thin Places. I'm Rachel Gallagher, and I'm an interfaith hospice chaplain.
And I'm Elizabeth Ferrasso, and I'm a birth doula.
And in each episode of Everyday Thin Places, we draw from our experiences supporting birthing people and dying people to explore with honesty, authenticity, and humor how we can all become more truly living people. Welcome back to Everyday Thin Places. I hope that you all can hear the smile in my voice because I am sitting here looking at a computer screen with two of my favorite people looking back at me. I'm really, really looking forward to this conversation. So today we are joined once again by Kay Bruner. She is a repeat Everyday Thin Places guest because she is someone who finds the thin places in life on a regular basis. And we are grateful that we have her in our lives pointing them out to us. And so we of course, wanted to catch up with Kay and hear some updates on her life. So Kay, thank you for joining us again. It is so, so wonderful to be back with you virtually.
Oh, me too. I'm so excited. I love it.
Yay. Well, we certainly have some things to catch up on. So listeners, if you haven't listened to Kay's first episode, please go back and listen to it. But it was about two Thanksgivings ago, so almost two whole years ago, that we last talked with you, Kay. And at that time, we were talking about spending our first holiday season with drastically altered plans because we were in the height of the COVID pandemic. This was fall 2020, and you were so helpful. You offered us some really thoughtful insights about how we can work through grief by having plans to look forward to, and you were practicing what you were preaching at that very moment. You were recording with us from Sedona, Arizona, where you were having a wonderful getaway from your home in Dallas. And then shortly after that, some really interesting and beautiful things transpired for you. So I am hoping that you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's so funny to look back and, you know, we had that conversation and then strangely, I'm back in Arizona and we're talking again from Arizona. And this time I live here, which we weren't expecting at that time. I mean, we were newly empty nesters and we had talked about what do we want to do long term. And we were always out looking, you know, and dreaming and thinking about where we might, you know, go someday, maybe. But this thing happened to me during that time that in 2020 in November, when we were here in Sedona for a whole month, we stayed in an Airbnb, worked from home, and hiked. And that's what we did, work and hike. And about, week three of that, that month that we were here, we were out hiking and I said to Andy, my husband, I said, I feel well. And I hadn't felt well, you know, in a couple of years at that time. And we probably talked about this in the last episode, but our daughter died in 2018. And, you know, just the devastation of that is hard to really adequately communicate. But part of it is just like this general feeling of just being profoundly unwell. I was sick a lot. And I just couldn't feel well. I couldn't sleep. I wasn't eating well. It was just everything was bad. So we were in Sedona. And at that week three point, just this profound feeling of just, I feel well, like my body feels well. And it was just an observation at that point. And then the 1st of December, we got in the car early in the morning to drive for the 15 hours back to Dallas. And we drove through Sedona. There's a bunch of roundabouts. So we drove through the last roundabout and up into the canyon to leave the Sedona area. And I just started weeping. I just cried. I was crying. I couldn't stop crying. I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I just kept crying. And Andy was like, what? He was like, are you okay? What's happening? I was like, I don't know. I just kept crying. I cried all the way to Winslow, which is 2 hours north of here. And finally, at that point, I was just like, I think my body just didn't want to go. And it was the weirdest thing, really, that I'd ever kind of experienced of my body just saying a profound no to me in this really strange way. So we went back to Dallas, got through, you know, the COVID Christmas, had it outside like a lot of people did. And New Year's Eve, we went camping in Oklahoma, which is one of our favorite little spots. And and by this point, we had started to talk about it a little bit. And Andy was following these Zillow updates, you know. So he would show me these houses. Oh, look at this house. It just sold, you know. And I finally that weekend, I was able to say, is it okay for me to go do something for myself that's just for me? And I know I'm not harming anybody by this, but I have 3 kids in Texas. My grandchildren are there. My daughter-in-law was pregnant at the time with our second grandchild. I mean, and our older granddaughter, who's our daughter's daughter, she had lived with us for a year after her mom passed, and we're very close to her. She was the hardest person for me to think about, you know, leaving. So I finally could ask this question, is it okay for me to do something that's just for me? And, and he looked at me like men do and said, well, yeah, like, you know, like, upon what other basis would you be constructing your life, woman, besides doing what's right for you? So he said, well, we should get a realtor and just see what happens. So we went home, got a realtor, and 6 weeks later we were here.
Wow.
Yeah. Drove up to the house, never having seen it except in a FaceTime tour, and just trusting our realtor that it was going to be okay. And a friend of mine asked me pretty soon after we got here, well, how does it feel? You know, we'd lived in Dallas for 13 years. And I said, this feels like home.
Wow.
Just feels like home. And it still does every day. Feels like home. It's the right place, you know?
That's amazing. I'm curious, just like logistically, so were you able to, did you sell your house in Dallas? What was that?
Mm-hmm. It's a long-term rental.
Okay.
I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do both. and emotionally, it was just like a really fast, it was such a quick transition. And it was during COVID. It was before anybody was vaccinated. So we couldn't see people, you know, it was just, you know, we didn't get to say goodbye. Really, it was just like this very abrupt kind of, mm-hmm. Yeah, people were shocked. And I just kept saying, well, I feel well there. And it's just like such a bad explanation to people. You know, I mean, if you're moving for a job, people are like, okay, they get that. Or you have friends or family, they understand. But when you say, well, it's my body feels well there, it's like, what in the world? What kind of reason is this?
So, I don't know. That feels like the most important reason.
I think it is, but it's not one we would ever, it's not one I would have considered previous to this, you know?
I just think of that, though, as like this little seed that you planted in each one of those people. And I'm sure there's people that are like, they can't handle that. They don't want to, like, that doesn't work for them.
Yeah.
But I bet you there's some people that grew up and like, oh, I wonder what I could do for me.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel well.
Yeah. It's a profound question, really. Yeah.
Well, I'm interested in some of the details because I have the Facebook friend view of your life, you as someone living in the desert. And so I see all these gorgeous pictures and I just feel this just secondhand, just profound joy about the life that you and your husband Andy have created for yourself there. And obviously, like, the pictures are beautiful, so the landscape is one thing. But you always seem to have these little insights in the way you see it when you post a picture of this animal or this land feature, and there's just a little way that you see it and a way that you share about it that always just lights something up in me. And so I wonder if you could just, like, give us a little tour of, like, What are some of the favorite features or aspects of life in the desert that have been the most delightful for you? The things that when people come to see you, you're like, we got to take you. You got to see this. You got to know about this.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about some of those things?
Well, I mean, the most obvious thing is the landscape around Sedona, the red rock formations. They're unbelievable. I remember the first time I ever saw a picture of Sedona, a friend of mine was visiting here and posted a picture. And I said to Andy, I said, I don't know where that is, but I need to go there. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the first visit, you know, years ago. So that's the very obvious thing. It's just stunning. It's bizarre. It's so unusual. There's nothing else like it anywhere. So that's part of it. And we have our favorite little hikes. And for me, a perfect hike is 3 to 5 miles, depending on the time of year. I'll go longer, but a lot of times 3 to 5 miles, I want under 500 feet elevation. I want a really nice view along the way is good, but a good finish is really important to me. So I have my little hikes I pick out, you know, for people. We've got one called Broken Arrow that's kind of the forced march. If you come to visit me, I will take you on this hike. It's 2.7 miles. The elevation is about 300 feet elevation gain, so it's not too hard usually. And it goes downhill to the parking lot, which is also an important feature to me. So so that's a big, huge part of it for me is just being in it. There's hundreds of hiking trails here. And to me, there's just a nothing like there are these huge monumental rocks, but you go out into it and there's like these little plants, which throughout the course of the year are different. And there's not like the same plants everywhere on every trail. They're different on every trail. And every time of the year you go, it's different. It looks different if you go in the morning or if you go in the afternoon. You know, the sky is different. The rocks look different. The colors look different. So to me, there's just like this, there's this just constant wonder in the landscape itself that I think that's really the obvious thing, right? But then there's like the animals, and we happen to live, well, this area is really unique in a desert in that we have actually quite a lot of water here year round. So over on the Sedona side of the valley, there's Oak Creek, which is a spring fed creek. That's just gorgeous and beautiful all year long. It's great in the summer. It's 114 degrees, but you can get in the water. It's fantastic. And then on our side of the valley, we live across the valley from Sedona. We have the Verde River. So I never thought I'll move to the desert and take up kayaking, but this has happened. So, you know, there's this, to me, there's like a lot of wonder attached to the water as well, because it just brings this element that you travel. There's a lot of beautiful places in the Southwest, you know, Utah, Arizona, every bit of it's fantastic, you know, but there's not a lot of water. Mm-hmm. In the desert usually. And here we have all of this water. So that's, you know, another thing that people from other places maybe don't notice as much because they're used to having water. But in the desert, it's pretty special. And here on our property, we happen to have a spring that feeds a little koi pond, and we have a little creek that runs along the side of our property, which is not on my list of things, again, that I thought I would get in the desert. But because of that, because of the water, there's a lot of really, there's great birding here. So, you know, the animals are fantastic. I have half a dozen rabbits in my yard pretty much every morning, quail. I have a pair of peregrine falcons that nest in the cottonwood tree behind my house. There's owls. I mean, there's just like all of these really wonderful animals around that I think are just a lot of fun and super special. So that's like the natural, you know, the natural world. But this is also, when you think about thin places, this is also a place that's been inhabited by indigenous people for thousands of years. And it's also been a really special place to them. And there are a lot of dwellings and petroglyphs in the area that are just full of like the most incredible wisdom. You know, when you think about people who sat and observed the earth and saw that, you know, here's where the sun passes across the horizon on the summer solstice and the winter solstice, and they've made carvings in rocks that demonstrate when those things happen so that their descendants can look and say, oh yeah, I know that the solstice is coming soon, or they've carved planting calendars where the sun falls across the rock in a certain place on the carving and shows you, you should be planting now because in, you know, when the sun reaches this place on the rock, the monsoon rains are going to come. You know, it's just this really, that part of it to me, the Hopi Indians say that every place they have been is sacred. And the Hopi, like, they move. They don't have, throughout their history, they haven't had the idea of an established place. They have the idea that life is a cycle, and you will be, you know, you will be moving somewhere. It will be revealed. And so their idea is that where they have been is sacred. And the ancestral Puebloan people have been everywhere in this valley. There's still irrigation ditches that they built here. There's beautiful dwellings that are still in existence from 3,000 years ago. So to me, they're all of that. It gives me chills. I'm just like, I've been here almost 3 years. I'm still super excited about it. So yeah, it's always something new, something you haven't seen before.
Wow. Thank you for painting that picture for us, Kay. I've never been to Sedona, but I spent a little bit of time in Arizona, more in like Phoenix and Tucson. Mm-hmm. And my initial words about that were, this just feels like another planet. It's yeah. so different from anywhere else I've ever been. So I can only yeah. imagine, you know, where you are, especially. It looks incredible when we get to see your pictures. And I'm hoping that you can give us permission to repost some of your posts, or maybe send us some exclusive photos that we can share so that people know sure. what it is that what you're talking about. Yeah. So speaking of nature, and I love hearing that, like, it's different. The plants look different and the landscape looks different in the morning versus in the afternoon. That's fascinating to me. I'm wondering if you can speak specifically about something that Elizabeth and I know about. So there was a pretty big natural event that happened recently, from like spring into summer, in your very own yard. And it gained quite a Facebook following. Like, people were very interested in what was going on, and it even required you to buy some new technology in order to document this. So it seems like you know what I'm talking about. So if our listeners are curious, which I'm sure they are, can you tell us all about what monumental event went on in your very own yard?
Yeah. Well, we have, you know, we inherited this property from, you know, previous owners, and some very lovely person about 30 or 40 years ago planted some century agave in my yard. And I have like they're pretty good size now. And this spring in April, I happened to be out just looking at them one day, and I said to Andy, I said, I think something's happening to this agave. I think I think it's going to bloom. I think that there's this weird thing in the middle of it. It looks funny. And the thing to know about a century agave is that they only bloom once in their life. So they grow for 35 to 40 years. And then they put up this shoot, and this incredible bloom that looks like it's a Dr. Seuss plant. Mm. It shoots up to about 25 feet and then puts out this flower on the top that's just crazy looking. It's yellow. It's just, it's bizarre. It's beautiful and crazy. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is happening. So I took a picture, which I do. I take a picture of everything. I increased hike times, you know, by 50% because I'm taking pictures of everything. So I took a picture of the plant. And then the next day I was out there and was like, this looks different from yesterday. So I took another picture. And then I started to realize that this thing is growing at maybe 6 or 8 inches a day, this shoot was coming up out of the middle of this plant. And literally you could just, you know, I would go out in the morning and the evening I'd be like, I think this is taller. So we started measuring it every day. And then Andy started standing next to it to be the human yardstick to kind of measure. And the thing just shot straight up. Yeah. And then eventually, I think it took about 2 months, bloomed in June. And it's still sort of, you know, then the bloom lasted for a couple of weeks and then it started to kind of pull back and it's going to turn into seed pods, all that huge amount of bloom on the top there. And then it also, the plant will shoot out little, they're called pups. It makes these little shoots that go out from it to, you know, reproduce itself. And then you can tell now, like the plant itself is like pretty withered. The shoot, like the bloom part of it, like it's still pretty green, like the flowery part's gone, but the part that's going to turn into a seed pod is still pretty green. It's like the only part of the plant that still has life left in it. You can tell just by looking at it. And then we got a couple of inches of rain last week and it really started to lean. So I'm not sure how long it's going to be standing, but it's just been, it's so fascinating to be able to watch it on a daily basis. And when we get all done with it, we're going to do a time lapse and just, you know, put those photos together so you can kind of see how it all develops and what all happens to it. So the super fascinating thing to me. So thing you know about Sedona is like, there's a lot of woo in Sedona, right? So this is like woo central. And last fall, I took a class at the community college called Sacred Geometry, which is way more than I thought it was going to be. But one thing we did do was like, just look at like the geometry that exists in the natural world. And agave is always this very beautiful geometric plant. And then the shoot itself, when it came up, I was standing at the bottom of it, you know, it's 25 feet. You can't really tell. And I was like, there's a shape up there. I can't tell what it is from the bottom, but this is where the new technology came in. We got Andy a drone. So he flew the drone up there and to take a picture at the top of it, and looking straight down from the top of it, it's a tetrahedron. It's just, you know, again, with the wonder and the awe of what the natural world does, you know, that this plant grows in this geometrically perfect way to create this just stunning and bizarre thing that's a perfect tetrahedron. I don't know. It's a wonderful world, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's really beautiful to think about, like, the juxtaposition of this super, like, not supernatural, but maybe supernatural, this very natural thing and the technology of the drone. Like, if you didn't have the drone, you wouldn't have known. There would be no way to know what the top looks like. And I just think that's really cool, like, putting those things together.
Yeah.
And I was calling Agave Watch for a little bit. I think probably you said that first, but it's before we got on today, Rachel said that, you know, she was telling her husband who we were talking to today, and he connected you with, like, oh, the one with the agave. And at the same time, too, I was like, I kept showing the pictures on my phone to my husband, Frank, and I'd be like, you have to see what this plant is doing. And eventually, I was like, you just need to be friends with Kay so you can see it for yourself. And he's like, oh, wait, I already am. So then I got him on Agave Watch, and Agave got you actually, like, in his timeline again because he realized he needed to see what was going on. More this agave. Whole phenomenon. And you know what I'm just thinking about? And this sort of leads into the next question. It reminds me a little bit of, like, of Charlotte's Web. You know how Charlotte's Web became this big, like, we drew this whole crowd and you didn't actually know that you were going to be brought into this, like, profoundly, like, sort of sacred and emotional, like, life lesson in it, where you could be that, like, you know, Charlotte's Web is an awful tearjerker. You have to sort of accept that part of that story is that, spoiler alert, if you haven't read Charlotte's Web, sorry, you should have by now, but you know, the mama spider's gone, and then there's all the little baby spiders, and so I think about, like, this mama agave is gonna birth all these little pups, and then she's going to go away. She did her thing for all for these years. And so I, you know, I think about you and I think about living in the desert. And I remember, again, probably my third grade self, who was the one who read Charlotte's Web. And when you learn and, you know, how to spell, you have your spelling list. There was like dessert and desert. And you remember that dessert has two S's because we all want like a double portion of dessert and nobody wants any extra desert because you think the desert is barren. The desert is a place that like, why would you ever want to go there? Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy to be corrected and to see how beautiful life in the desert can be through your eyes. But I also don't want to just idealize like, oh, look how beautiful it is. Cause it's not, that's sort of like taming this beautiful wild beast. And I know there's ways it's harsh and it's dangerous and unforgiving in some ways. And this agape showing that it has death lessons to teach us too. The cycle of life means that death is a part of life. And when you get up close to nature, that's what you see. So I wonder, as you experience maybe some of the harsh parts or the death parts, the letting go parts of life in the desert, just noticing where it's barren or less fertile, is there something that is still healing or comforting or hopeful to you through those encounters and observations that we might be able to join in on reflecting?
Yeah, I think the closer you get to the earth, and the more you feel that connection to it, that's a hopeful thing. That it goes on, you know, even though, yeah, so, I mean, water, of course, is a big deal in the desert. And it's, you know, like across the whole western part of the United States, you know, the state of the Colorado River, the state of of Lake Mead and Lake Powell, those lakes that provide electricity for this whole western side of the country. And we've been in extreme drought. They've been calling it for 20 years. This last winter, we actually had a really good winter with a lot of snowfall. And so the lakes are actually quite full again, and they're not completely full, but they're much better condition. But, there's definitely the sense here, like it seems very harsh and tough, but there's also like, there's not a lot of margin, right? Like everything here is as it is. And if you're only going to get 12 inches of rain a year, if you don't get those, then you're in trouble. Our well went dry this last summer. And we had to deepen the well. And it's just like, you know, when we moved here, the first thing we did was replace all the toilets in the house so that we have, you know, better water conserving toilets. We replaced the washing machine. I paid more for a washing machine than I ever thought I would because I can do a load of laundry with 8 gallons of water as opposed to 40 gallons, which the previous machine did. You know, so I think it's good, right? Like you get up close to the earth and you're like, we can't be wasting water. It doesn't work like that here. It's very obvious. And then also there's like, you know, so we're in the summer right now, it's wildfire season. We're always like, we kind of watch for smoke, you know, and there was a fire up the mountain behind us a couple weeks ago. And we were like right on the edge of they have a ready, set, go system here. And we were right on the edge of the set where you're supposed to like gather your belongings and know like where you're going to go. The first summer we lived here, I could stand on my front porch at night and see 3 wildfires in the dark. I could see the flames. So there is that sense here of things being not so insulated in a really good way. And also in a, just a very conscious kind of way that we are, the earth is fragile and so are we, I think. And it's also incredibly enduring and resilient. And it is going to survive all of us, maybe the whole human race if we can't pull ourselves together here. But so one of our favorite places, there was a wildfire there a couple of years ago. And we just went back. They just opened it up again. And it's the water's as beautiful as it ever was, you know, and the trees are growing back. And it does, if you let the earth do what it knows to do, it will work. It will fix itself. And we are just a part of that. And that to me is, I've said for a lot of years before we ever, you know, before my daughter died, before we ever moved here, I stood on one of the mountains in Sedona and said to my husband, you put my ashes here. And if this is what happens and I become a part of this, that is all I need. I am okay with that. And that to me is like the, what happens to me about the wonder that's here. That's also connected to why I think I need to be here, which is be connected to that wonder and become more and more okay with if at the end of life, this is what happens to me, that I become part of this, I am fine with that. You live so that you can let go in that way. And I think that, so I'm 57. I have to know how to do that. I have to know how to let go of my life and be okay with it. And the desert teaches me that and shows me that and lets me feel so full of wonder now that I'm okay with whatever happens afterwards.
You just stunned me into silence again. That's silence on purpose. I don't even know where to go from there.
Go outdoors, put your feet in the grass, you know. Breathe it in. We are part of this, and it is part of us. We're not separate.
I'm grateful for this right here, right now, and being connected with the two of you. Like, the three of us are in drastically different places. Like, right before we started recording, I mentioned that we are experiencing a thunderstorm. I live in a place that floods constantly. And Elizabeth, you know, it's for her to go put her feet in the grass, it's a little more challenging to find that patch. She just got back from a beautiful week in nature. But it had to be so intentional because she's surrounded by concrete and people's houses. You know, she shares walls with her neighbors. And
yeah.
And I think all of this is beautiful. And I am just so thankful that we live in a time where we can share this with each other, where, again, the technology exists, that we can experience it through each other's eyes and connect in these ways. I'm just overflowing with gratitude. And we can get on a plane at some point and come visit you.
Yeah, definitely.
I think about, I know that, I know you share the appreciation for the show, The Good Place. Mm-hmm. I won't totally spoil it for some of our, Charlotte's Web has been long enough to spoil for people. I'll let people catch up on The Good Place. But one of the sort of visions, one of the sort of thoughts about how, what it means to be human and what it means to not be alive anymore, mm-hmm. is a picture of a wave.
Yeah.
I know The Good Place didn't come up with that, but they did a good job of like inserting it into pop culture in a way that we could understand. One of my recent, By the way, I'm not calling it word art anymore. It's monthly marker magic. Some more to come on that. But my most recent monthly marker magic, one of the things, I just had this picture of a wave and just taking the word instead of apart, where we can feel so apart, like you can feel disconnected from people, disconnected from nature, disconnected from yourself, just feeling apart is, sometimes the root of profound depression or anxiety or all these different, kind of our worst human states come from feeling apart.
Mm-hmm.
But just to smash that word together and be weird. To divide that word, actually take it apart and say a part, like that we are a part of all of it, that, like a wave, like which part of the ocean is a wave when it becomes one wave versus a different wave, and we're all these different human expressions, individual expressions of consciousness and individual expressions of humanity, and your plants that pop up through the earth that are, different expressions of life. And the same sun making the landscape look different at 10 a.m. versus 4 p.m. It's just all a part of the same whole. That's just, wow. We get to be a part of this whole. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So watch The Good Place. Sorry if I spoiled Charlotte's Web. You can watch The Good Place. Maybe we'll make that one of our social media posts this week as a little blurb from that show too. But and it's such a good reminder for me. I imagine our listeners are in all sorts of different environments too. And like Rachel said, I just got back from some of that time of getting to be connected with nature. But it's really hard to do, whether it's the obligations that people have or the place that they live or different abilities or different constraints. Sometimes it takes a lot of effort to get to that, but I think this conversation reminds us how worthwhile it is. And not just to make the effort, it's not always just work, but the thing I admire about you is it's this like leap of faith that you took to buy a house that you never saw. And it's not like it's different than work to just like do this really courageous thing. And I love how your life demonstrates the beauty that can come from having that kind of faith.
I think it's, we both of us, I think, freaked ourselves out pretty badly, but we just felt so, I don't know. I've never felt anything so profoundly, I guess, that, and one of the things that I've learned, I'm a therapist, and so one of the things I've learned from my clients walking with them is that you create when you're willing to step into something that's like really hard and terrifying, but you know it's the right thing for you, like how that creates a life and like this positive feedback loop of, it creates courage, right? So the first time you do something that you know is the right thing for you and it's terrifying and you go ahead and do it anyway, and then it turns out that that actually was really, really good. Like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. And then like the next time your body says, hey, I think this would be the right thing for me, then you're like, okay, like there's some wisdom here that needs to be heard, because my body does know. And when I do the thing that I know is right and just keep doing the next right thing, it just it's that sacred geometry of our lives. I think, you keep turning it to the next right thing. And then, you stand back and go, whoa, that was a tetrahedron. I didn't know that's what was happening from down here when I was just going, well, I think the next thing is this, and then it just turns into this thing that you didn't know you were making, which is just like magic.
You know what I love also, Kay? I mean, I just love so many things about you. But one thing that's really relevant, especially to this conversation, I think, and catching up on what life is like for you, is that you don't keep this to yourself. Like, you experience all of this and share every bit of it. And in, like, a very, very tangible way, like, we should mention that you have an Airbnb as part of your property, and it's a great joy of yours to extend hospitality to whoever wants to come and experience this. And so I'm sure there's probably another episode there about Airbnb hosting as a thin place.
Oh my gosh. We meet the nicest people. One of the things people often ask us about Airbnb is like, don't you get annoyed? And, you know, don't people like mess up your stuff? And actually, no, we bought a house where we knew we could, you know, have our privacy. And it's a fantastic arrangement. It's great. It works out so well for us. And then the other thing is, no, people don't mess up your stuff. And we know that everybody who comes to stay in our guest suite is, you know, doesn't share all of our views and our political leanings or whatever. But we share a space, you know, and because of the spring that we have, we have green grass, which is very rare for Arizona. And so we get a lot of guests who are from the area, and they come here and they love it. And my neighbor across the road told me she bought her house because my house has a yard.
Oh, wow.
So she gets to look at green grass. She doesn't have to deal with the irrigation, but you know, it was a big deal for her. So there's just like, again, it's the, you know, the natural world. It happens to be really beautiful right here in my little 1 acre plot of the universe. And yeah, to get to share that with people we just meet really cool, wonderful, interesting people. And yeah, I'll just say one guest that we had the first summer that we were here was a couple who came through, and the husband had a terminal diagnosis, and he had gone to Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff and spent his youth running in this area, and then had lived in Michigan, and then his bucket list was he wanted to come back here and take his partner around to all the places that he loved as a kid. So they were here, and they came out in the yard. We were sitting out in the yard one night, and they brought a bottle of wine out, sat down, and told us their story. It was just so special, you know, to have somebody in that place and just to be able to just very naturally, you know, to be able to sit with them and just carry that place for them. We messaged her a few months later and said, "Hope you're doing well. We'd love to see you again." And she told us that he had passed away. But you know, that she hoped to visit again sometime. And, you know, we would love for that to happen. We're starting to almost into our third year and starting to have guests who come back, who liked it enough, you know, to visit again. And, also, we didn't realize how much people liked us until we moved to Sedona. They didn't like us this much when we lived in Dallas. It's weird. But now that we live here, everybody wants to come and visit, and it's fantastic.
For the record, I totally would have trekked to Dallas just to spend time with you. Oh. I like you. I mean, I really hope one day to make it to your physical space, but yeah. I would meet you in Kensington for sure. I know. We've somehow missed it. I know that you've trekked through. If somebody's thinking back and listening back and just thinking, what good episode should I listen to? We had Kay, you were on that podcast, but you also just demanded that we get Ben Wildflower.
Kind of, yeah.
He's sort of on the periphery of my social circle, but that you knew really well. And so, but I sort of think that one of the like very best things that could ever come out of not just this episode, but our podcast existing at all, I would love it if there's someone who never heard of you and maybe always wanted to visit the desert and have a getaway, and maybe we'll book a trip to come and hang out at your Airbnb and get some of the natural beauty and human beauty. So if that happens, we, you know, we demand an update to share about that.
Yeah.
So we will, we'll definitely, I know that you're typically very booked, but we'll still, I think we'll want to put that link, if nothing else, for people to just get to see for themselves some of the beautiful homestead that you have there. And I know that we're going to want to link to also some of the, just the pictures, and not just the pictures you've taken, but the words that you accompany your pictures with that are always just insightful and inspiring and just make it feel good to be alive. As a human on such a beautiful planet. But the other thing, I don't know if we're putting you on the spot with this, the other thing that you have the second chance, second time around since last time you were our guest, I know that you gave us the idea of a mental health wellness drop-in center in Dallas that was really special to you, that we sent people to if they wanted to be generous on your behalf. But is there anything else in addition? Is there another sort of landing spot for people's generosity if they just are feeling happy and generous and want to do something that would be good to you by sending some money the way of some cause or organization out there?
Yeah, you know, what just came to my mind when I was thinking about this was the Trevor Project, which is support for LGBTQ youth in particular, who are disproportionately homeless in this country as a result of not being accepted often by their families, and trying to figure out who they are in the world and finding support for that. The Trevor Project has a lot of resources online for youth, individuals, and for parents and families to just try to help build more love and more understanding and to keep kids safe and alive.
Yeah. We'll link to that in our show notes for sure. Kay, I love you.
Aw, I love you too.
I'm going to be...
We need to meet and hug.
I was just thinking, for our third time having you on the podcast, let's like put it out into the universe that we want it to be in person.
Absolutely.
Whether that's like that. Philly or Sedona or some other amazing place, like let's just start putting that out there.
Well, I want you to come here.
Okay.
So I can give you the Sedona retreat experience. And
all right, we're going to start putting our brains together and figuring out ways to make that work.
Let's do it.
And I'm going to be sending you some, I'm sure I'll have questions about kayaking. We are picking up our kayak on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So thank you for being a resource about that. I'm inspired.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So are you going to be doing mostly like rivers, or are you doing ocean, or what are you?
So we are on a canal that is connected to a river that connects to the ocean. We probably won't go out to the ocean. There's some really, 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 really big boats that that go through here. Fort Lauderdale is the yachting capital of the United States, so that's a little above what I'm comfortable with. But even just our little canal right out back might be great.
You know, here's the thing about kayaking is, like, I love the river. I love water. There's something incredibly different when you get yourself down on the surface of it.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Well, I'm excited to experience
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. That'll be great.
Well, I don't have a kayak or anywhere to kayak, but I did kayak in Rachel's neck of the woods on my honeymoon. So I was able to remind her that kayaking there was going to include manatee encounters. So
yeah. They're
cool.
I don't
feel entirely out of the loop with
cool animals.
The kayaking adventure. Yeah.
Well, I would love to just chat all day. We probably should stop recording. Otherwise, we're going to have a super long episode. But what a delight. Oh, thank you for making time.
Yeah, so fun. I love talking to you guys. And you're both just like really good at what you do. So
thanks.
Can't leave that unsaid.
Thanks.
Good. Well, until we meet again in person, to hit record next time.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us. Now it's our turn to hear from you.
So would you do us a big favor and go into your podcast app and rate us? Even better, would you write us a glowing review? That will help other listeners to find us. And make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. You can also visit our website at everydaythinplaces.com, where you will find all sorts of fun and interesting information, as well as learn about how you can help to support this podcast and earn special exclusive perks. There you will also find links to follow us on social media, or else just pop directly over to Instagram or Facebook, where you will find us at Everyday Thin Places. Thanks so much for joining us today. Until next time, I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Rachel.
Bye.